Is this you?
I'm a poor man. I don't have any. It's even hard for me to go to sleep at night. I'm so energizerless. I don't know how to even describe myself. I can't do anything.
Well, do we have a cure for you? Introducing the Super Spiky Hair Care product line. Now, listen to our happy client after he used our shampoo, conditioner, mousse, styling gel, and hairspray products.
Hi-ya! I've taken on Taekwondo, I've done 100 jumping jacks, and I'm getting ready to enter into the Olympics 1 mile race.
Now, I don't know if being a Super Saiyan disqualifies you or not from the Olympics, but from the looks of it, this happy customer could very well be mistaken for it. And what about you, young miss? What was your life like before you used the Super Spiky Hair Care product line?
Well, see, there was. As always, just always by myself in some corner. No one ever paid any attention to me. I was always just a lonely person.
And now, you've tried the Super Spiky Hair Care product line?
And now, I'm a supermodel down in Hollywood! You've seen some of my famous shows, but I don't want to tell you, because...
Contractual reasons, Mom?
How did you know?
I just know, because when you use the Super Spiky Hair Care product line, your life is improved in a myriad of ways. The people of the opposite gender will like you more, higher income, happier, more energy, and best of all, your hair can achieve the spiky jaggedness well known for in Japanese animated products. So take it from me, Guy Smiley, when I say the Super Spiky Hair Care product line isn't just a way of taking care of your hair and improving your life, it's a lifestyle. So once again, that's the Super Spiky Hair Care product line. Find it in better hair care retailers nationwide.
Those clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
Dun, 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 dun. Welcome to the evening news with Dan Weathers.
This is Dan Weathers reporting your weekly anime news.
Alright, so now it's time for the news, but we're going to do it a little differently than we usually do. Usually we go and we scan through all the news first and then take out all the good stories. But this week I'm going to have DB3 scan through it actively and read the ones that he finds interesting. DB3, I'm enjoying a delicious piece of hard candy. Would you take the first news story back at the bottom of the page?
All right, let's see. More Gundam Motors. Oh, that sounds all right. All right. Back in 2002, it was reported that Bandai was releasing the Type Char motorcycle helmet based on the Gundam antagonist Char... And, what was his name?
As novel.
Yeah, helmet. Now, Bandai is also releasing a Type RX-78 helmet. The helmet will cost about $180 US and will be delivered in March. So, go out and get your Gundam helmets.
If you're Japanese.
Yeah.
I think the one above it's okay.
The Gundam 2 Odyssey alright. Gundam 2 Odyssey is to be released in North America under the name Gundam MS Saga. The PlayStation 2 RPG game is expected to be released in February 2006.
Now, see, that's just dumb for Anime News Network to call a PlayStation 2 RPG game. Okay, RPG stands for role-playing game. So they're saying the PlayStation 2 role-playing game. No, that's not right. Okay, let's do this one about the Digital Manga Award. Let's see if I pulled that up already. No, not that one. Definitely not that one. Ah, there's that one. Go ahead, DB3.
Well, this is from the Digital Manga Awards. The 2005 winners of the Digital Manga Awards have been announced. And...
yeah.
I'm really looking at this. first, so I don't mispronounce. Alright. Basically, these awards recognize creative manga that have made distinctive characteristics of digital media, and they have all submissions had to be, had to incorporate one or more of the following themes: the Earth, people, and mammoths. Alright. The first prize, we'll start with the first prize, because we'll save the grand prize for the very end. Alright. The first prize in the adult groups were in the print category. Was Ogata.
I'll help you out on this one here.
Ogata Nakaharu.
That's pretty good. For Mamo-chan no Fushigi na Nazukiana. Then for the... Well, you read the categories and I'll read the names.
Web category.
Hamada Miyoha for Ora to Goshujin.
For the media content category.
Hana Hige for Mushi no Wakusei.
Boys and girls category.
That was Saito Megumi's Season Ohakai Suruto.
And the grand prize... Oh, those are all the first prize winners.
These are the runners-up now for the adult category.
For the print category?
We have DNA, which made Colors. Sorry, there's a bunch. Kosei, that made Igirisu Niki. And Haneda Natsumi, who made Suki Usagi no Usuji.
For the web category?
There was Wakasan's Chodai, Emoto's K.A. Tycoon, and for the media...
Oh, yeah. For the media content category?
There was Kawahami Hideyuki's Anima Shoujo Jidai.
And for the boys and girls category?
Osaka Public Middle School Abiko South, Arigato no Tama, and Nagase Hana's Heiwa o Kanjitai, and Toda Misako's Para Para Manga.
And honorable mention for the print category
is Hiron's Piru Piru Seiji, Seijin TTOA, which is for Puru Puru Aliens to Earth. And the grand prize winner,
drum roll please,
is Mori Nobuaki for Around the Earth. Would you read the description for that one?
The artist's description: as a boy watches the setting sun somewhere else on Earth, it is morning, it is noon, and it is night. After all, it is all one world.
So, that was really boring, because I thought it would be more interesting, but it wasn't. Okay, this one, however, is interesting. DB3?
Social Park Media has announced that Rebecca Solar has been chosen as the voice of Batia in their upcoming redub of Outlanders. For the 20th anniversary of Outlanders, CPM had announced that they would be releasing the classic anime on DVD for the first time with a new dub. The main cast of the new dub was to be chosen by a fan ballot. CPM had professional voice actors from the regular talent pool audition for their parts. CPM placed the audition recordings online in all fans to vote for their preferred actors. According to Central Park Media, over 20,000 people voted, and the first results have been announced. The remaining three parts will be announced in the upcoming months between now and the release of the DVD. So, all you who voted, go out and check, see who you won. See if your votes did any good.
Good job, LA Hero. Thanks for coming back. To 93, actually. Okay. Ooh, an acceptance video. We'll have to check that out later. Alright, let's see. This is about... Okay, read this one.
Alright. Bandai registers Bandai.tv. According to Who Is Search on Network Solutions, Bandai America has registered the domain name of Bandai.tv. Bandai America has not commented publicly about any new TV-style service in North America. Adult Swim On Demand, in association with an animated village, is available to some Time Warner Video On Demand customers on Channel 171. In Japan, the Bandai Channel has announced that Gun Parade, March, and Noin episodes are available to download over Sony's portable TV. The episodes can be downloaded to PSP devices for 105 yen, in price story, including tax, using a USB cable as a delivery method and a memory stick as a storage method.
Very interesting. Maybe Bandai's going to do something noteworthy here in the near future.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Things are funny. Should we go and play the acceptance video real quick for that role in Outlanders?
Might as well.
Alrighty. Let's listen to the audition first. Let's see, I think the volume's well adjusted there. Let's see here. Got about 59% downloaded. This will be interesting, eh? We're multimedia this episode. The QuickTime. I hate QuickTime. Yeah, I don't think we ever watched this show, did we?
Uh-uh.
Well, unfortunately, this is in QuickTime, and QuickTime is not a very friendly format, so we don't have any sound. But what can you do? Except listen to it later, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Anyone that wants to listen to it, go to centralparkmedia.com/outlanders/Spadia. Anyways, let's see. What else do we got here, DB3? Boring.
The jiggle counter?
I did that. We'll definitely do the jiggle counter. appears on Gundam Z. What the hell's that? Tomino surprises Gundam audience. Yeah, well, that was in Japan, so we don't care. Okay. Shall I take the jiggle counter or shall you?
I'll let you, because I've been the last couple.
Okay, well, back when we went to Mandesucon, Doug Smith mentioned how the DVD release of Plastic Little included a jiggle counter as an extra. Now, some of you might be familiar with the pop-up videos on MTV and whatnot, and ADV did the pop-up video sort of thing with Excel Saga, where they popped up cultural notes and whatnot. Well, for Plastic Little on DVD, they had a jiggle counter, which counted each time there was a breast jiggle in Plastic Little. Well, apparently, ADV has registered the jiggle counter as a trademark with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. According to the article, ADV has registered the trademark for the term jiggle counter with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. So, apparently, if anyone else wants to go and use the term jiggle counter, they will have to license it from ADV. Which I think is dumb. They could have just called it a jiggle counter and left it at that. I mean, you don't have to patent something like, well, it's not patented, but it's trademarked, and so, you know, if you want to use that term, you have to either go and license it through them, or you've got to go and use an alternative term like wiggle counter or bounceometer.
Yeah.
You know, we could make up funny names all night long. So I just think that's kind of dumb. Hopefully they'll be cool and just have trademarked it, but anyone's free to use it. But ADV is big, ADV is ADV, and I doubt they'll do that.
Yeah, they're power hungry.
Let's see, what else we got here? Cosmode update. Apparently, SyncPoint's having some sort of cosplay event. Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh! Toy sales are down. Apparently, worldwide gross sales for the entertainment business, including games and puzzles, was down 7% for the last quarter, primarily driven by sales declines in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Property and Juice Box. But they don't say exactly how much it's down. Let's see. No. 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 Wait, what? Ooh, that sounds interesting. We'll read that one. Very simple piece of Windows software is needed by Anime News Network if anyone wants to go and volunteer with me with software, you gotta pay. Let's see what they have to say about Flower of Eden. Would you read this one, DB3?
Posters on the Japanese
2CH
2CH BBS have noticed a striking similarity between some of the art in Yuki
Suetsugu's
Flower of Eden and Slam Dunk and Ariel, both by Takehiko Inoue.
Yeah, close enough.
Posters to the BBS have posted side-by-side scans and superimposed images to illustrate the similarities. The images linked to are from Flower of Eden and Slam Dunk. Flower of Eden was first serialized in Kodansha's
Besatsu Friend, or Best Friend,
Between 2000 and 2004, Slam Dunk ran in
Shueisha's Shonen Jump between 1990 and 96. Kodansha has stated that it is conducting an investigation and that it already confirms that many of the allegations are true. Suetsuga herself has admitted to some of the allegations. Kodansha has ceased distribution of all 12 volumes of Eden no Hana and is also stopping serialization of Suetsugu's current manga series, Silver. Suetsugu has issued a public statement apologizing for the problems caused by her lack of morality. Tokyo Pop is aware of the issue and is discussing the appropriate next step with Kodansha. Apparently, there's also a follow-up about their apologies, but first, DB3 and I are going to observe the side-by-side pictures. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out exactly how they're set. Oh, I see. Okay, so here's this image here. Almost exact same image here. Here's this image here. Here's this image here. Boy, these are really similar, aren't they, DB3?
Yeah.
Alright. Or like this guy running through these other guys to get a basket in. Almost exactly the same. It's like different characters, but they're in the exact same positions. That's pretty fun. Let's see the other one here. I don't even know what that is. Okay. So here's the follow-up article. You can do this one, DB.
The following statements have been posted on the Kodansha website regarding the issues surrounding the manga. From Kodansha, we're still looking into the plagiarism case regarding Suetsuga Yuki, but we can already confirm that much of it is true. Suetsugu has also admitted to it. Serialization in Bisaru Friend has immediately been stopped, as well as the shipping of all of
Suetsugu
Tankubon. They will no longer be printed and steps for recall have been taken.
Talk towards the mic, DB3.
Well, see, if I talk towards the mic, I have to sort of move over, so I can't really get a good look at some of these words. We deeply regret that the plagiarism went unnoticed by our editorial department, and we apologize to the copyright holders as well as all of our readers.
And I'll read this next one from Suetsugu, who says, I am really sorry for having invited this situation. I have caused much trouble due to the low morals and lack of foresight, and deeply apologize to all copyright holders, all people involved, and above all, to all readers. So, I have to say, there's another follow-up. Tokyo Pop has issued a statement today, the 21st of October, stating, we are honoring the request of our partner Kodansha and will not be releasing Flower of Eden. Volume 1 or 13 was to be released on January 10th. The creator of Flower of Eden has admitted to allegations she copied art from other manga. Well, that certainly was an awful lot of, how to put it?
A string of news?
A series of unfortunate events, perhaps.
Huh?
Okay, well, we'll get back to the real news in a minute. But first, I wanted to mention a little contest that our news provider, Anime News Network, is running. Because this sounds pretty cool. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because that's what reading is for, but I will tell it in a nutshell. Basically, they are having a contest over at AnimeNewsNetwork.com. So what's the haul? Okay, there's going to be two grand prize winners and then one runner-up winner. This is what each of the grand prize winners will receive for their winning entry, okay? It'll be Blackjack DVD box set, Boogie Pop Phantom DVD box set, Dark Water DVD, Devil Lady Volume 1, Doom Megalopolis DVD, Full Metal Alchemist Volume 1, Galaxy Rails, Ghost Stories, Kaku Renbow, Lady Death, Paranoia Agent DVD box set, Petite Cosette, Samurai 7 Volumes 1 and 2, Scrap Princess Volume 1 and Figurine, Shadow Star Narutaru, The Locker DVD, and Suki Hime DVD box set. That's a lot of anime and manga, and you know.
That's a nice little booty prize.
Yes, and then one runner-up will receive the Blackjack DVD box set, Dark Water, Devil Lady, Doom Megalopolis, Ghost Stories, Kaku Renbo, Lady Death, Scrap Princess, Shadow Star, Narutaru, and The Locker. And they might even have more winners. So, that's pretty crazy. So what is the contest for? Well, apparently there's two ways to win, the fun way and the easy way. The fun way is a pumpkin carving contest. You need to send in at least two photographs of your jack-o'-lantern, and it's best to be scary and or anime themed. And there will be one grand prize winner and runner-up selected from the carving contest. The easy way is just to go and submit your name, email, and mailing address. So I think the easy way is rather boring, but heck, if you're going to enter in a pumpkin, you might as well enter in both ways. Am I right,
yeah.
EV3? All right. Envy's voice is a little tired tonight. A little sore because I've been sick, so I hope the listeners can forgive me. Let's see. Do you see anything that looks interesting, DB3?
Maybe the Lollyporn manga?
God. Are they talking about that crap again? Alright, where is that?
Right there.
Oh, God. I hate Lollicon. Alright, fine. We'll cover that. Is there anything else?
That looks about it.
American Teens Mop-Up Rent. Okay. I'll read this one, then. And then we'll get to...
Anime is not illegal in Canada?
Okay. okay, we're going to have to read some stuff, I guess, but I want to read this first. Mainichi Interactive has posted a translation of Shukan Shincho article about the success of shoujo manga in North America. The article includes the shoujo traditional shoujo fare, okay, such as Fruits Basket and material with graphic sexuality. Please note the statement regarding Kodansha selling exclusively to Tokyo Pop is incorrect. While Tokyo Pop does publish numerous Kodansha properties, all Del Rey manga is from Kodansha's library. I don't know. That something about American teens mopping up raunchy Japanese manga. Look, I know a lot of manga has nudity in it, but that is not porn. Can people not fathom the difference? Just because somebody is naked or in an awkward situation does not equal intercourse. DB3, your thoughts?
I don't know. I'm too tired to think.
You're fired, DB3.
Dang.
But don't worry, we'll keep you on as an apprentice at a lower wage. So it's still cool. Alright. Let's do this Lollicon one. I'll do this. In March, Anime News Network reported that an Edmonton area man had been arrested for importing manga containing pornographic depictions of minors. When police searched the man's house, many more books containing explicit pictures were found. Yesterday, the 26-year-old individual pleaded guilty to the charges in an Alberta provincial court. As the material did not involve the exploitation of real children, he was spared jail time and handed an 18-month conditional sentence, along with 100 hours of community service and fined $150 Canadian. I'm imagining that's Canadian and not U.S. He must also undergo counseling, is barred from using the Internet for 18 months, and must provide a DNA sample and will be placed on the Canadian Sex Offender Registry for 5 years. New laws, in effect November 1st, will require mandatory jail time for Canadians convicted of importing child pornography. The Edmonton Journal report on the case online. In the article, the journalist not only confuses anime with manga, but implies that all anime and manga involves child pornography with the statement, anime is illegal in Canada, but not illegal in Japan and the United States. Which, the Edmonton Journal's journalist is retarded.
Yeah. They actually put up a follow-up statement that retracted.
Yes, how he said, originally they said that Canada, anime was illegal there. Let's read up on that, I guess. The Edmonton Journal has removed the article in which they stated anime is illegal in Canada from their website. A separate statement explains that the anime is not pornographic. According to the Edmonton Journal, the original article is never printed in the newspaper, only on the Edmonton Journal section of the Canada.com website. So that's pretty funny, I have to say. DB3, what are your thoughts on the whole case with that guy and whether pictures are as bad as, let me clarify this, illustrations are as bad as photographs and so on and so forth?
I don't know, it depends on, the situations. It's
right.
It depends. I think there's always a excruciating, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but there's situations, drawings can be that bad, it can get your mind thinking in ways, but Usually, like in normal one half.
Okay.
They'll be running through a shower. What's the big deal?
Well, with these lolicon or they're images of like kids 10 years old and younger.
Oh, I don't really have an opinion on that. I'm just going to plead the fifth.
Ah, well then NZ will step up to bat. How about that?
That sounds fine.
Okay, here's the NZ stance on things, and I'm really thinking here that I should have a show on one of those editorial news networks. You know, like Hannity and Combs and all those other guys. I should have one because my opinion is just as invalid as theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my opinion. It's that, okay, child pornography, very horrible thing.
Yes.
People that like pornographic situations with children, in other words, people that buy this stuff and engage in this sort of stuff,
perverts.
They're not just perverts. They're just horrible people, in my opinion.
Okay. Right.
I mean, unless an individual is, how to put this exactly to phrase it just right, unless an individual is fully physically developed and emotionally developed for sexual activity, they should not be introduced to it. Okay? Now, a person is completely sexually developed by the age of 14. Okay? But I don't think that somebody at that age is ready for the repercussions of sexual interaction. And so, while on the one hand you could say somebody is physically ready at that point, I think more like maybe 16 should really be about the line where sexual activity should be able to, how to put it, allowed to begin at that age for a person. But kids should not be involved in any sort of sexual situation.
Mm.
And that's my opinion on this. So what about the question of illustrations versus actual photographs and forced depraved acts of sexuality with children? Well, I think, okay, first of all, the illustrations are not nearly as bad as actually forcing children to do these despicable acts. But the fact of the matter is that while it's not, I mean, there's a huge difference between making drawings and actually doing these horrible things, but I think people that are interested in such illustrations should be monitored for going beyond just going and being a consumer of these sorts of depictions. Because somebody that just watches could very well become somebody more involved in that. But let's go and move on to better news. Okay, so before we move on to our next bit of news, and I think we should wrap up the news here, only did things that are really interesting, because we've gone over like 16, 17 minutes of news. I was going to say, if you have any opinions about the story that we just read or anything that we mentioned tonight, go ahead and send us in fan mail with your opinions on the topic.
Yeah.
As, well, you know, your opinions are important and, you know, kind of help guide us. And not that your moral opinions are going to, you know, change anybody, but it'd be interesting to hear what the viewers think of, you know. Okay, so, let's see. No. Okay, talk about this one, DB3.
House Moving Castle DVD Extra. I always like something. It's just extra. A 3-minute video of that making of 1/24th second extra from the upcoming Japanese DVD release of House Moving Castle is available
online
at the Nausicaa.net.
Well, Nausicaa.net's linking to it.
Oh.
But yes, the title of it, Making of 1/24th of a Second, refers to the fact that in anime movies there's 24 frames per second, you see, so that's one frame. Let's see. Ooh, there is a fall 2005 anime preview guide. Should we talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh, but that's about in Japan,
yeah.
So. Now there's an editorial that's not important. Apparently, Adult Swim is going to begin airing Gigantor on October 31st at 5:30 a.m. Adult Swim will also be showing reruns of Big O at 5 a.m., replacing Super Milk Chan.
I'm happy with that. I didn't like Silver Moon Chan.
Mm-hmm. What was our media director man's name again?
I don't remember anymore.
Oh, geez. You're so useful, DB3.
I know. Hey, but there is some news up here I like.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Hurry up!
Oh, I don't think so. Now I'm going to look up his name because you wouldn't remember it for me.
Why didn't you remember?
Well, that's a very easy question to answer, DB3. But I don't feel like answering it right now.
Yeah.
That's right. You just have to like
it. Take the easy way out. Don't admit how foolish...
Hey, if it can work on Macro OV, the comic, anyone can take the easy way out. Let's see here. Where's our miscellaneous? There we are. I'll show you, DB3. Punk. Matthew Porter. Didn't he say that he liked Gigantor?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So I was going to say, good news for, you know, all fans of Gigantor. As far as that news goes. And let me see. I want to look up something else. Hang on just a bit. It matters.
It does.
Why?
You'll find out when you get there.
Yeah. You just chill. Chillax, as they say. Yes, it is Gigantor, because he was saying how his email address was at tetsujin.com, see? So, yeah, we should watch that. That's cool.
It is.
Okay. All right, fine. Wait, there's something...
We already read that.
And we read that. And that's Gigantor. Okay. Go ahead and read whatever you were going to read.
Alright.
What I want to read.
So, in October issue of Neo Magazine.
Which Azure writes for.
Yes. Includes an interview with Studio Madhouse's founder, Meiso Maruyama. In it, he says the studio is working on a Trigun movie. That should be released in a couple of years. So, the couple of years... Maybe so far out of the future.
The November issue of Anime Insider also confirms the news.
That's what I was about to say. Maybe a far away, distant time, but it is confirmed in Anime Insider.
Yes, and apparently Adult Swim is going to be broadcasting episodes of Neon Genesis Evangelion every Thursday night. Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Really? I'll take your word on it. Okay, so what else?
I don't think there's anything else.
Okay, that was the 20th. Yes, every Thursday night they're going to be playing one episode of Evangelion, which that should mean it should take them 26 weeks to get through it all. Of course, it's heavily edited, so I wouldn't watch it on Adult Swim. Let's see. That's interesting. Something about Yoshitoshi Abe's illustrative Book of Wayne, Tokyo Pop, the contest, High School Girls Anime Project. Let's check that real quick, and then we'll wrap up the news.
We were only doing the very interesting ones.
That's not interesting. Okay, so I guess we're done for the news.
Yay, it's
and bad. There's some crap that I'll talk about when we get to the...
This episode's trying to drag out.
All our episodes drag out, dang it. Anyways, there's some crap I'll talk about when we get to the fan mail section. But for now, we'll go ahead and let DB3 take care of some business with the hotspot.
Yes, we have some manga review.
Yes, that's right. We're going to have them review volumes 2 and 3 of Ramna 1/2. But of course, the fan mail section comes first.
Yes.
So, we'll do the fan mail section first. But then, we will do the hot spot.
Man.
So, I think I'll wait off on my discussing Acer Radio MD-17 Productions news until the hot spot. After you do your review. Does it suck? Does it rock? Who knows? Anime review. Okay, so, for episode 80, we're going to review My Neighbors, the Yamadas. Wink, wink. Okay. We don't have that one to review. Not yet. My collection steadily grows. We have Pompoko.
Yes.
Which is a Studio Ghibli film, but unlike, well, just about every other one that we've reviewed, this one was directed not by Hayao Miyazaki, but instead by Isao Takahata. I have to say, I really hate Mr. Takahata. Not because he's a bad director, but because... because he's so good at pulling at the heartstrings.
I know, it's just like, tears you to pieces inside when you watch his shows.
Yeah, see, you can say he's quite the crumb bum. Everything he makes is really, really bittersweet, both on the bitter and the sweet parts. What did you think of this as a whole, DB3?
The whole time I watched, I kept thinking, man, all those naturalists probably love this show, or eating it up.
Right, right.
And I was like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it, but then Jackie said, it's like, oh, yeah, we are doing that to the nature.
Yeah.
I feel bad, but I don't know.
It's a good film for making you feel a little guilty, I'll say that much. Well, let me briefly go over the story and you fill in any holes that I might have in my retelling. The movie centers around a whole bunch of tanuki. Now, I know the subtitles say raccoons and the dub says raccoons. They're not raccoons. I live where raccoons are. And trust me, tanuki and raccoons, they don't look the same. DB3, your thoughts on that?
I think they have a lot of similar characteristics. I mean, like a flower, you can say a rose to a daisy. They have a lot of similar characteristics, but you can tell they're different.
Yeah, yeah. They have similar markings, and you could say similar faces. Outside of that, they're both scavengers, but I'm saying their appearance is very different. So first of all, do not trust your dove.
Or your sub.
Yes. But they're all fighting to go and protect their homeland, Tama Hill, which is being overrun by humans who are developing it as a new suburb of Tokyo during the large expansionist period which followed after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie centers around these raccoons trying to scare off the humans and keep them from claiming their own territory for their own and redeveloping it into dwellings for people. And Batman Nutshell is basically the whole show.
Yeah.
Just little bits and pieces here. There's one faction of the raccoons that want to go and attack and decimate all of the humans to try to keep them out of the area. There's another bunch that want to go and try to scare them all off. There's another group that the 999-year-old Tanuki's group, which wants to just go and leave them be, see what happens, and want to leave this mortal coil.
They
want,
just
want to
dance. Do the Buddha dancing.
Yeah, they just basically wanted to enjoy themselves and, you know, let the world go to hell because there's nothing they can do about it. And the film's kind of like all these different factions with all these opinions on how to go about it, trying to go and resolve their, differences, try to come up with the best plan and enact the various plans, sometimes authorized, sometimes not. But in the end, ultimately realizing that the humans can't really be stopped no matter.
We are unstoppable.
We're like a plague. So really, there's not a lot to the whole story of it. There's the Tanuki are very playful, of course. They can transform themselves to look a variety of ways. There's their natural look, which they give in front of humans.
There's their happy look.
Yeah, where they're all cartoony and whatnot, where they're all thrilled. There is their standard among Tanuki look, where they kind of look anthropomorphic, you know.
Yeah,
they stand on two legs, sometimes closed, sometimes not humanoid. But then again, they can also transform into things that look nothing like themselves, which is what they try to use to scare the humans and terrorize them and whatnot. But what they all learn is that if they try to attack the humans will go and attack them back and kill them.
Yeah.
And no matter how many humans they take down, they keep on coming. If they go and they try to scare the humans, that doesn't work because people have just basically been insensitized towards such things. And if they let the humans go, then the humans will just take all of their land anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of, and these going off on theory trail, which I think that, obviously Isao Takahata, the director of this, he, like Miyazaki, is at least, like, in his 50s if he's young, but probably more in his 60s. So he remembers World War II. And if not directly the war, then at least the aftermath, which I think is present in all of his films, which I think is kind of one of the... because towards the end of this movie, there's a lot of symbolic things said and done. And I think one of the things with this movie is that he's kind of saying Japan can go and try and be a great and mighty nation, you know, in regards to the pre-World War II era, and try to resist change in the outside world from coming in and whatever, but there's so much more of the outside world than there is of their own world that resistance really can't
futile.
Do anything. It is
resistance
futile.
Is futile.
Yeah, but I didn't want to go cliche, then thanks for destroying what I had been trying to build up, DP3.
No, I'm glad I destroyed it.
So I just think that I guess you could watch this movie on two levels.
Yeah.
The literal Tanukis and humans, and then the more figurative, well, I guess not figurative, but the nature versus mankind's development and our unrestrained behavior, and then the more symbolicness of Japan and the rest of the world, World War II and so forth. So some movies deserve a bit more depth than the usual discussion of animation quality in the music.
That's true.
So I just thought I'd mention that. Before we move on, DB3, do you have anything to say in regards to the symbolry and whatnot within this?
Well, actually, I didn't catch a lot.
Right.
And I'm as awake as I am.
Right, right. You seem that, really astute at the moment.
Yeah. A lot of that just goes right over my head. So I didn't catch a lot of that. I'm sorry, NG.
Well, okay, then I'll talk a bit more about it.
All right.
One point that I thought was good was towards the end of the film, the Tanuki have given up on being able to stop the humans. And one of them had mentioned that only Tanuki should be able to transform things. And so at that point, one of them gets the idea of, well, why don't we try to go and transform everything back to the way it used to be using our powers that we've honed? And so they do. And it seems so real, the illusion seems so real, that for a moment they forgot themselves and thought it was real. And they all ran out, and when that happened, their concentration was broken, and everything reverted to looking back the way that it was. And I thought that was kind of a poignant point about how we look upon that which our past with such rosy-colored glasses, and just recalling the fond memories that sometimes when things are bad, we really just wish it could just be like it once was, because we remember it being so great. And
you know that part of the movie?
Right.
That probably would have, like, if I had been a person there, that probably would have been like, oh, crap.
Right.
More, like, seeing all those trees and everything pop up and all the specters and everything they changed themselves into throughout the movie, that probably would have done something to me. I would have been like, oh,
well,
gosh,
the people that were direct witness of that certainly were spooked and believed. Anyways, the scene was poignant because after the raccoons ran out near these apartment buildings, it was just a stark contrast of this stripped hill and these apartments right next to it, the raccoons looking out at what once was their home. And I thought, you know, the innocent little children, what they said was really touching. Is like, oh, the raccoons have disappeared. I wish we could have fed them. And, you know, if you think about that in a larger, more symbolic meaning, it kind of brings tears to my eyes, you know. I thought it was really good in that facet.
Yeah.
DB3, since I've covered this rather well, how about you talk a bit about the music of the show?
Yeah. I actually wasn't listening to the music.
Right.
There are a couple dancing scenes with the parties. After every time they went and did something, or after every time someone got better or something like that, they always threw a party.
Right.
And there's always little... You can be like, yeah, that's fun. Party
pretty
music.
Groovy folk music.
Yeah.
Well, them Tanukis, you know, they're party animals.
So that's about all the music I can remember.
this film, what did the copyright date say at the beginning? 96?
Yeah.
It looked really great, you know.
Especially for how old it is.
I was surprised to actually see this one point in the movie where they're in a library that they used computer generated effects. I thought, wow, you know, that's pretty early on to be using computer 3D imagery within anime. But there wasn't much computer imagery, but still, that's what they used was very impressive for the time. But some awesome hand-drawn stuff, you know. They did a good job with that. Really, there's not much to say about this movie, or really I think any of Asao Takahata's movies, because it's not so much a story as its characters and
events.
Yeah, I'd say it's more like characters and events and emotions that are
growing
more than any sort of really strong, deep story. It's kind of more about the individual characters and the stuff they go through more than anything. It's kind of like his other work that we've seen, Grave of the Fireflies. If somebody asks you, well, what's the movie about? You're not going to be able to say much except, you know, two kids trying to survive during World War II when the entire country is stretched thin.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you say that and they look at you peculiar when you talk about a movie like that in such high esteem, but then when they actually see it, then they can understand, because like we said, his films aren't so much about the story as it is going and saying, well, this is how, you know, this certain situation feels, and you can relate to that emotion. I guess that's really is.
That's a perfect way to describe it, Angie.
Like a paint palette, and he smears the colors together, and you feel the different colors like emotions. So, obviously, it's quite late when we're doing this review.
Yeah.
As I'm rambling a bit, but I mean it, you know, seriously. So, anyways, we're a bit short on time, and so this might be a wacky episode. Anyways,
just like the good old episodes, what were they, 20 minutes long?
Well, the first one, I believe, was 8 minutes long.
Wow.
Could have been 20, but heck, we're on episode 80, it's hard to recall anything anymore. But we'll look through it in our rose-colored glasses, remembering the good times. What do you give this movie, DB3?
I'm going to give this a recommended. I don't know. It was a really good movie, don't get me wrong.
It was a really long movie, too.
It was
most
really
anime
long
movies
long.
Typically cap out about an hour long, sometimes less. This was just 1 minute shy of 2 hours long.
I see. I would probably give this a neutral for my personal, but it is a Ghibli, and everyone needs to check out all the Ghibli. I'm not biased or anything, but they do put out some of the best anime around. But this is just going to get a recommended for me.
So wait, if you think it deserves a neutral, why'd you give it a recommended?
Because it's Ghibli. Like, it's right there on the neutral recommend.
It's kind of like on the border, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel similarly to DB3. It's not the strongest Ghibli film.
Mm-mm.
That much is for certain. But I did enjoy it. Sometimes the environmental message is a bit too strong and explicit, you know.
Yeah.
I preferred it when the moments when it was more subtle, you know, and so you had to soak it in rather than when, you know, they go and they address it directly. And seriously, there's so many frickin' Tanuki's partying scenes that, I mean, if they cut out the partying scenes, the movie would have been a lot shorter.
You see,
but then again, of course, the movie's supposed to take place over 2 years' time.
That's true. But the party scenes are things that lightened up. I was like,
yeah,
that's funny. They're partying again.
But actually, we started watching this subtitled, and then we had to switch it over to dub because during the party scenes, there was so much crap going on that you can't read and pay attention at the same time to take it all in. A lot of scrotum jokes, though. But that's expected with Tanuki.
Yeah.
Like BB3, I'm kind of on that border where there's points where I really liked it, and other points where it was kind of like, oh, this is going on for so long. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to give this a neutral, okay? And the reason that I'm going to give it a neutral is because DB3 gave it a recommended, and that certain vocal listener wants us to have different ratings, but we don't review things differently just for the sake of that. We do it because that's how we feel on a film. And that's exactly why I'm giving this a neutral. Not because I think it deserves a neutral, but like DB3 said, it's kind of halfway in between a recommended and a neutral. And so by giving it a neutral and he giving it a recommended, on the averaged out score, it falls halfway in between. And I think that's really what this film deserves. So, way to use my own system to my advantage to get the message across. So yeah, DB3 gives it.
I give it a recommended.
And NZ gives it
a neutral.
Exactly.
Huh.
So, always so tired. Does it suck? Does it rock? Who knows? Anime reviews. Well. I bet you thought we had finished doing reviews for the show after that long, boring, drawn-out Pompoko review. No. That's what happens when you only record half an episode at a time. I'm going to review the first volume of the Oh My Goddess TV series as well. Thank you, DB3,
for that
minor contribution.
I know. I had to do something. I was feeling left out.
Ah, well, I can understand that.
No, you can't.
Nobody wants to hang around with DB3. I'm sorry, DB3.
Maybe I should get some of that shampoo. Maybe
the super spiky hair care product line?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that would take up my life and people would want to be around me.
Yeah, I think it could. I think everyone could benefit by participating in our sponsor's well-made products. But regardless of that, Oh My Goddess Volume 1. They finally released the Oh My Goddess television series here in America, dubbed it all up, released by MediaWorks.
And
it didn't receive any benefit by being dubbed into English. Really, it's just, they didn't use the original voice actors.
Yeah.
Except I think Skull, the Belle Dandy's little sister, I think she is dubbed by the same voice actress. I actually think the voice actress for Skull did it for all the shows, because it sounds pretty much the same every one.
Well, that's good.
So that's good, but it still doesn't take a show which was originally mediocre and improve upon it any. Belle Dandy is still much too passive. I didn't see the original four episodes. I had seen the fifth one. I hadn't seen these first lot. The first episode's really, really, really boring. I mean, the whole thing is just set up, okay? Belle Dandy doesn't even show up until the end of the episode.
What?
Yeah. All it is that Erd and Skuld are doing a voiceover about possibilities and fortune in the past and the present, and how Keiji was born under an unlucky star, and it's like showing some of this stuff from like his life before he met Belle Dandy and everything, and how he's a good soul, but he's just unfortunate, and that's why the Goddess Helpline chose him, and so he ends up calling them by mistake. And she ends up showing up at the end of the first episode.
Wow.
Really boring first episode, and by this point, it should be very obvious to anyone the backstory for Oh My Goddess. It's existed in Japan in manga form for over 15 years now. As a matter of fact, I think it started like in 86 or something.
Wow.
It's had an OAV, a movie, and now a television series. They didn't need to spend that much time on KG's backstory.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a real backstory. It's just like what happened the day before Belle Dandy showed up is all. Then the second episode shows up. It's a bit better. They end up going and being together. And it's just weird because they changed so much from the OAV and the manga. Like, you know the spoiled rich girl, Sayoko?
Mm-hmm.
In the first volume, he asks her out.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And they changed other things, too, like when Keiichi got kicked out of his apartment, okay?
Yeah, because of
In the OAV, his dorm, in the OAV, he goes and it shows him stopping off at a couple of different friends' mm-hmm. house trying to stay there. In the manga, it's more or less the same thing. There's kind of a bit of an adventure with an anime otaku. But it's more or less the same thing. In this one, they end up at Zora's house, the girl member of the auto club, and asking if Bell Bandy can stay there. And they don't even show up at the anime otaku's house. And it's just weird how they change things. In the OAV, they end up spending the night at a temple.
Yeah.
And in the manga, I can't remember because it's been a while, but I think the same thing happened. In the television series, they end up sleeping in a junker of a car that the auto club had at the university.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, they just keep changing all of this stuff. And so it's really just kind of weird. And of course, I don't like the way their faces look. I think this one guy I know made a really good observation when he said their faces make them not even look like their sisters. And I thought that was a pretty good observation. And so it's just really all kind of funky is the best way I can really describe this. And what's really weird is, DB3, you watched one or two of the fan-subbed episodes with me, am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay. What's weird is that on the domestic release, the opening and closing tracks had a muted sound to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here, let me go ahead and, while I have everybody listening, I'll go ahead and play, I ripped the songs from it real quick. Let's see here. Oh my god, is we want the closing. Okay, here's the closing song, which I really like. This is what I ripped off of the DVD. And if you listen to it, you can hear how it kind of sounds shallow, like there's no depth to it. Let's take a listen. We'll let this go for a little bit.
Not bad, it's just...
Yeah, it's like somehow it sucked out the depth of the body, if you will, to it. And so it just doesn't have that oomph.
Yeah.
You know? So, for the rest of this review, we'll just have this quietly going in the background. Why not, eh? Okay. So, plus there's the one part I really like where they say Ichu demo.
Yeah.
So, okay. What am I getting at with my review here?
You're trying to compare how the TV series is...
Yeah, okay.
Is even more of a mediocre show than the OAV.
Yeah, well, the OAV I thought was really good.
Yeah, so did I.
And it's just this TV show changes all of these things that are more or less regarded as the way things happen. Like, I'm reading through the manga, okay? They completely change the order of things. The TV series... Like, towards the end, ends with the Lord of Terror, the Lord of Destruction, Terrible Master Erd storyline. That, okay, and now in the manga where I'm at, is where Bonpei Kun shows up, the robot protector that Skuld built to protect Bell Bandy. And that happens, like, in the first 10 episodes of the anime. So they completely change things around. It's really just weird. So none of this goes to go and really help the show stay away from the realm of mediocrity. So I'm just going to have to go and give this a neutral because it's just funky. I mean, I don't know. It's like the series. They took all the situations and wackiness of the series and kind of neutered it.
So if someone hasn't seen any of my Oh My Goddess, which one would you tell them to start off with?
Well, you know, after seeing as much as I have seen, I think you just got to start it off right and start with the manga. Mm-hmm. The OAV is really good, a nice jump start to things, but it just flies really fast, you know, through things because it starts, like, they go through a year of time in, you know, six episodes of the OAV. No, five. there's five episodes where it introduced one for each goddess and then the last storyline.
Oh, yeah?
So it just flies through on the OAV and skims over things. So if you really want the full effect, you should go and read the manga, I think. Plus, the manga's just really great, can be really funny, you know?
Yeah.
And both, you know, guys and girls like it, so that can't be argued with. So, yep, neutral for Volume 1, Episodes 1 through 5 of Oh My Goddess, or, sorry, on this domestic release, it's Oh My Goddess for the TV series. Only the OAV is called Oh My Goddess by Animigo. So, for Oh My Goddess, Volume 1, NZ17 gives it a neutral.
So, did you get an anime DVD in the mail?
Better yet, fan mail.
Alrighty, so we've got some fan mail, of course, and of course, we like it when people send in fan mail.
Yay, fan mail.
And I actually have a fan mail subject of the week for this episode, but we'll get to that after we read our Aso Radio fan mail. I'll read this first one.
Alright.
This is from our visit to NDK.
Uh-huh.
And we received this fan mail actually even before we arrived back in town. This one is from Kelly for DB3. And the subject's entitled Hi from That One Girl. And I find that title funny. It says, Hi, hi, Puffy Amiyumi. It says, Hi, hi, I just wanted to let you know I checked out your website. Like, DB3's done any work on the website. And then it says, Il est triste et précieux chant. And then, ha ha. Then it says, I'm looking forward to seeing your convention pictures, which, of course, are now up on the site. I still need to go through some of the names and put them up on there, but you wouldn't believe how bad some people's handwriting can be. And she goes on to say, and listening to your radio stuff. Yeah, I know, I should have probably done that before I sent the fan mail, but I was all excited. Notice how she hasn't sent any fan mail since after she's listened to the show. And she concludes by saying, send me an email sometime later, heart, heart. So, DB3, how would you, pretend for a moment that I'm not here, and that your only way of sending email is by going and vocalizing it over the Aso Radio airwaves, okay?
Uh-huh.
And go and reply to Kelly on the air in case she's listening.
As if I hadn't done it already?
Yes.
All right. Hey, Kelly!
Or perhaps as a follow-up to the first one.
Hey, Kelly. Glad you emailed me. Glad you emailed us. Glad.
So gladness is glad.
Yeah. We got the convention pictures out finally. You need to check those out. They're pretty cool. You might like the one with Braslo wearing the Hello Kitty hat. That was pretty funny. Yeah. And you should definitely listen to the show and send us more email. Because, well, should we tell them why she should send more email?
Tell them why.
Because the fans, they make the show.
And are you going to sign off on that email then?
That's DB3 signing off on this email.
So, as you can clearly see, DB3 is a wuss.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to go. yeah. He's, he's a bit, you know. And, she's like, how old are you now, DB3? 23?
No, I'll be 23 in January.
In January. So there's about an 8-year difference between them, you know, 7-8 years. And so, you know, this goes back to the news earlier, actually. I'm just kidding, DB3. But, you know, Kelly wrote in some fan mail on the show about the show, you know, send it in. We'll read some more to DB3, if you so desire. Okay, DB3, yeah. How about you read this fan mail from Warp Shadow about episode 79?
All right. Hey, everybody. I just heard episode 79, and I thought it was really good. Thanks. Even though you didn't have a live episode, it was really interesting to hear of your exploits at NDK. I guess there's always next year as well.
Well, would you like to talk... you were going to say something?
You know what I've been thinking? when we go to our next convention, maybe we should sort of ask the guests what they'd like to hear about, so we can sort of decide what we're going to go to based on what they think would be interesting.
How do you mean?
Like, you know how they sort of put out like a preliminary, what are they called?
You can do it, DB3.
They put out a preliminary schedule of saying what's going to be where and when. We could say, these are some of the things we're thinking about going to.
Uh-huh.
What do you think we should go to?
So
that way we're talking more about the things.
Let me see if I can summarize this right.
Right.
Okay? You want us to ask the guests of honor at the various anime conventions?
No. Ask our fans what they think we should go to, because that way we'll be
so
talking about what they...
the conventions that they attend.
No. I'm saying we should go to our conventions.
I think that's a good idea, though.
We
the fans should say what conventions are near them, and then we can try to hit those.
Well, that's good, too. I'm just saying, whatever convention we go to, we say, these are the things that they have scheduled. What would you like us to go to?
So I get you. So we ask the fans what they'd like, what events that we can cover at the convention
for them, things that they would find interesting. Right.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, there you go. You got all these different fan mail subjects. You've got what should we cover when we go to conventions, what conventions are near you so that we may consider to go to them, and where do you draw the line on child pornography? So, lots and lots of subjects to write in about. Now, well, I guess that wraps up the fan mail.
Yeah.
So I'll mention what our fan mail subject of the week is. I've been kicking around an idea, DB3.
Yeah.
A revolutionary idea. Would you like to hear it?
I'd be glad to hear it.
Good. The idea is called ASO Radio Daily. Okay?
All right.
Now, at this point, you might be thinking to yourself, oh, there's no way we're going to put out an episode of ASO Radio every single day of the week.
Actually, that did cross my mind.
And you're right, because that's not what it'll be.
Thank heavens. ASO
Radio Daily will be short, like 5-10 minutes episodes each, like one section, if you will, of an episode. You know, sometimes the sections go long, of course. But I'm saying it'll be more or less one section of an episode. So we'll record an entire episode all at once, but put out one section per day on the website. So it's the same amount of shows per week, but it'll have one episode every day. So like instead of a full episode, it would be like 80.1, 80.2, 80.3, so on and so forth, filling out a whole week's worth. Maybe only have it go through like Monday through Friday, because that would go and probably do all five sections of a show. So, it's a very interesting idea. I think it would get a lot more hits on the website, because people would have to, you know, we'd have content come out more often, so people would go to the site more often. But I want to go forward with the experiment, check it out, try out ASO Radio Daily, but I wanted to get the fans' opinions on this. So, the fan mail theme of the week is, should ASO Radio do an experiment for 1 week doing ASO Radio Daily? So, you can write into fan mail to give us a more detailed description, and we will be having a poll on the website where you can vote on your opinions on this very subject.
Yes.
Yes. So, that's it for the fan mail section.
Yay.
And now, DB3, you can finally review the Ranma one-half manga volumes, because you're really, really fast at reading, and you've read through 2 and 3 before I've even finished reading through 2.
Right. Haven't you? You've read 3 before.
Well, I read 3 first, because that's the first
one
I bought. Then I bought 1, then I bought 2. So technically, I read 3 before you, but, you know, that's just the way it works when you buy them in that order, and I didn't let you borrow any until I got, like, volume 1, I think.
Yeah.
So, okay, so enough of NZ's rantings, because we know how long he can do that for. Let's go ahead and let DB3 do a bit of a hot spot. Come on up and spin the wheel to reveal your hot spot.
Well, as you've all expected...
No, I got some thoughts on that, DB3.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding, too. Go ahead.
Well, as expected, I am excited to review these, because I really like the Ranma one-half manga series. The second volume starts off with... this black... what was it? What's the girl's name?
Kodachi,
the Black Rose. She's a rhythmic gymnast, and...
Rhythmic, not arithmetic. She has four joints in that case. Although, it could be pretty funny.
Yeah. Arithmetic gymnast and her school and... What's the name of their high school?
Farrinkin High School.
Farrinkin High School are going to be competing in this.
You know, you'd think I was a long-time Ronda fan.
And Kadachi's the number one in, like, the country, and she's the best arithmetic gymnast ever. And she more or less goes and sabotages the Hurricanes team. And they're like, Akane, help us. Help us so we can win.
Hey, you skipped the part where...
Oh, yeah, Ronda comes in and saves him as the pigtail girl. Mm-hmm. He's the girl for him. Comes in.
Rescues the team from utter obliteration.
Yeah. But they turn to Akane, and Akane's like, okay, I can learn this arithmetic gymnastic. And then she finds out that it's a arithmetic gymnastic fighting style. They have to fight in this new style, and she's like, oh, I don't understand. So she gets trained, and who would you guess would train her? Would train her. Her favorite friend, Ryoga. And
but you gotta wonder how come he knows rhythmic gymnastics.
I did wonder that as I was reading that. I found that sort of funny. But he trains her, and she hurts her foot, and she's like, oh no, I won't be able to do this. But it turns out, sometime during this time, there was a deal made that if their school lost, then Ramna would break off his engagement with Akane. And so,
isn't it Volume 3 that Dr. Wate Kuno gives his blessing to Ramna and his sister?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
No, that's in the second one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's in the second one. She runs up and jumps on Ramna and kisses him. And
Kuno is coming with congratulatory roses for Akane.
Yeah. But Akane hurts her ankle, and Ryoga's like, I know someone who can take your spot. Ramna, come here. He changes Ramna into the girl form. He's like, she can do it. I'll even train her. And Ramna's like, wait a second. What's the deal? Why is Ryoga being so nice? And basically, after Akane leaves, Ryoga's like, I'm going to beat you so hard, you won't be able to fight in it. You're going to be hurt so bad. Because I want you to break it off with Akane, because I'm starting to like her. And so they fight all night long. The next day, they're both, like, battered and bruised. And Akane's like, you sure? I might be able to fight with my hurt ankle. And Ramna's like, no way, I'm not going to let you hurt yourself even more. And so he gets in the ring.
You really get a good feeling how much they care for each other in the manga.
You do, like, you can tell that he really does care for, and like in the anime.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny in the manga, when they're fighting, like, she keeps doing cheap things, like, her ribbon will have, like, razors in it, she'll hit a button and it'll have, like, electricity or something. But it doesn't actually have electricity, that's just something would happen. Or, like, her baton would have, like, spikes come out of it, so when she hit, like, it'd be a lot worse. But the thing was, they had either get knocked out of the ring, or be knocked out. It's funny, at one point, Ramna hits her out of the ring, and the ring moves, and he's like, what the? And all her friends were under the ring, moving it. It's pretty funny. At the end of the fight, Ramna wins, and she's like, you know what, at this moment, I declare my undying love for you, Ramna, and I'm going to come after you no matter what it takes. And you're like, oh, man, I feel so bad for Ramna. And in the next chapter, they're ice skating, and this ice skating pair comes and starts skating, and Ramna and Akane are just there, and they're just skating along, and Ramna gets kissed by this guy when he's in the girl form.
His face is hilarious.
It's his first kiss ever, and he gets kissed by this guy that he doesn't even like, and he just blows it. He goes, runs in the shower, and changes. She's like, I'm going to kill this guy. And he finds out there's an ice skating team from some school, and they have to do this ice skating thing, and he doesn't care. He's like, I'm just going to thrash this guy right now. So the guy that kissed him enters his ultimate move, the twist, I don't even know what it's called, the beat of a thousand hits or something. And you see Ramna jump into this, and it looks like he gets thrashed. He gets thrown away, lands on his face, and it was like, oh, Ramna, he just got beat. Can you believe that? Ramna got beat. And then next thing you know, the guy's there. He's just like, he's beat so bad, he can't even move. Ramna gets up, and everyone's like, oh, my goodness. And Ramda walks off, and Akane's like, what happened? Why did you do that to him? And he's like, don't worry about it. Because he's so embarrassed that a guy kissed him.
Not to mention it's his first kiss.
Yeah. But it's funny, like, everyone, all the people who he ever beat, all went up on his competitor and drew on his face and just drew all these funny things. And at the end of the episode, he's like, I'm going to get my revenge. When I win this, I'm going to take Akane. So he has another competitor for Akane. And you're like, oh, boy.
Does that complete Volume 2 then?
And that's about the end of Volume 2. The dancing duel, there's a girl that is the guy's partner. She steals Peach and Ryoga and is like, this is my piggy, he's so sweet. So the only way you can get him is if you beat us in the ice skating competition. And it turns out to be in ice skating, fighting style. And that's where it ends.
Okay, so you gave an exhaustive overview of the story of that volume. How about character development?
I really liked it. Like, you really start feeling, like, how much Ramda really cares for Akane, the way he wants to protect her and stop her. Oh, it actually introduced Ryoga in this volume at the very start. I forgot about that. How he the reason he hates Ramda is because Ramda kept taking the last piece of...
But it turns out that's not the real reason why he hates him. But, you know, can't give out too much spoilers.
Yeah.
So, what about the other characters? They have good development in this?
It does mostly with Ramda and Akane, but you really don't see much between the family and stuff.
What about the art style? Rumiko's going strong with this, and...
She is, like... The way she gets the characters to express themselves, like, you can see their feeling. Oh, it's amazing.
One of the things that I really like about her manga is a lot of manga, all she is over-detailed and too many lines, so when action's happening, you have a hard time telling what's going on.
Yeah.
But she's really good at having a setup frame where they're in one position, and then the next position, and because of the layout of the arms and legs and everything, your mind can fill in all the in-between moves for all of those. And I think she's really good at purveying action and movement by doing that.
Yeah, she is. But I give this volume...
Wait. Oh. What did you think of the music and sound effects?
Actually, as I was reading it, I hear the characters' voices. Like, I hear them saying it. I hear it. It's amazing. Like, just the way it clicks. It's just done so well.
So, okay. That was, of course, a trick question, but where do you go and rate this second volume of Ramda One Half the Month?
I give this second volume a highly recommended. I was laughing almost the whole way through it. Just all the incidences that kept happening, I was like, oh my, this is getting good.
And kind of where you try to choke down the laughter because you don't want to laugh too loud or something?
Well, I wanted to tell NZ what was going to happen because I know he hasn't read it. I don't want to spoil it.
I've read about half of it so far.
Yeah. But there's just so much that happens that you're like, oh.
Okay, well then, let's go ahead and wrap this up by having you review Volume 3.
The Volume 3, and they actually go into the fighting. They have, like, Akane and Ramda enter they start off with the skating competition, and they're doing well. But Ryoga's like, oh, I have to do this. But before he gets the chance, before he gets to jump in, the competitors, their competition, puts him in the relationship break death, where when any companionship that gets in that, they always break because they always let go of each other and they get hurt. But Ramda and Akane, they make it through. It shows their relationship will stand forever. And Akane is like, why'd you do that, Ramda? He's like, I don't know. I can't let that guy win. He's trying to hide
it. And he got really hurt by going and holding it and protecting
it. Yeah, he did. And they're like, I can't believe it. And the whole crowd's just like in awe about it. And then that's the point where Ryoga jumps in.
To clarify, when DV3 says awe, they didn't go, aw. They went, aw.
Yeah. Thanks, NZ.
No problem.
But Ryoga jumps in. He switches Ramda to his girl form because he doesn't want Akane to get hurt. And then Akane's like, wait, Ramda's hurt. I'm going to get in. So it's Akane and Ryoga, and Ramda's sitting there like, I can't believe they're out there dancing together. And you can just see him starting to get jealous. And then they throw them into the relationship break thing, and Ryoga lets go of Akane, and Rama just sort of loses it. And he jumps in and throws the smack down. And that is about the end of that. They win because of Ramana.
Wait, you skipped the whole part where the ice got destroyed.
I didn't want to reveal too much.
You skipped that whole part.
You want to say it then?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. At the point that DB3 skipped over, the ice gets broken apart, so it's all these ice floes and whatnot. Well, at this point, Ramana and Ryoga's rivalry is boiled up to the surface. And Ryoga says, Ramana, that does it. Whoever falls into the water first has to give up on Akane. And Ramna's like, well, that's fine with me. And so they're both going and they're fighting each other. And they're fighting, at this point, was the other skaters knocked out?
No, they were stealing.
So they were fighting them at the same time. And I don't want to spoil what happens, like whether one or the other ends up in the water, but I will tell you this. I forgot who falls in, but I do know it was hilarious.
It was pretty funny.
And then what happened?
Well, that was basically the end of that part. The next thing that happened, there's a girl that shows up. Her name's Shampoo, and she's chasing after the girl Ramana.
Let me ask you this, DB3. Does she use the super spiky hair care product line?
No, she doesn't. She has another shampoo of her own.
Ah. Shampoo, cologne, and mist. You gotta love it. So, you're saying?
Shampoo is a Chinese fighter from an Amazon tribe, and she's chasing after the female Ramana to kill her. Because while Ramana and his dad are off in China, they were really hungry.
After they fell under their curse.
They were transformed, and Ramana was in his girl form. And his dad is in the panda, and they were all hungry. They see this fighting tournament, and the person who wins gets all this food, and they were hungry. So Ramna's like, man, I'm taking this person down. I'm hungry. And he takes her down in one move. And the girl gets up and kisses him on the cheek, and the death kiss. And so from then on, she'll be chasing him to his death to kill him.
However,
the male Ramna beats her in a fight later, and she gives him a relationship kiss, where whoever she kisses, she has to marry. So she's chasing Ramna's female half, trying to kill him, and chasing his male half, trying to marry him. So he ends up, there's some pretty funny situations that happen because of it.
And then something sad happens at the end of the volume.
Yeah. She runs away, sad.
Her feelings destroyed when she finds out the truth.
Yeah. That they are one and the same person.
And that's where the volume ends, with Ramana thinking to himself, well, she was kind of cute.
Yeah.
And he feels bad about making her cry because he doesn't... Ramana is a very chivalrous person, and he doesn't like making girls cry.
It's true.
That's where Ramana
is. It is.
So what do you give this one, DB3?
I give this one a highly recommended. I was laughing at during this one. Like, it's just the way things... Rumiko Takahashi, she's amazing.
Oh, I thought you were going to give one of these a top recommendation.
If it was either of them, it'd be the second. The second one, I found myself laughing more than the third. But, I don't know.
All right, well, there you go. From DB3, volumes 2 and 3 of Ramana 1/2. Highly recommended. Okay, so then we finally find ourselves at the end of Mammoth Episode 80. Seems every now and again we just need to let out a giant episode.
Yeah.
You know? So, but it's been a lot of fun doing this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to talk about some updates that I've done to NZ17.com, if you don't mind, DB3.
As long as you keep them short, because sometimes you'll start rambling on and on.
That's true.
How long do you want it before I stop you?
5 minutes should be good.
All right.
You know, when this ticker gets towards 17 minutes or so, you know, let me know. I'm actually pulling up my email, because, of course, we send out the What's Up at NZ17 Productions newsletter, which keeps everybody up to date on all the latest happenings at NZ17.com. And the reason I'm pulling up that email is because I want to take a look at it to let you know what I have done since that time. So, let's see. Planned updates. Okay. First of all, the main page of MG17 Productions has been updated with new icons for each of the sites. Before it was using these bubble ones that had been left over from a previous incarnation. The original bubble ones were very big, and I shrunk them down for the individual sites, but then you couldn't see inside the bubble, so you couldn't really tell what it was. So I changed all the icons for the main sites to be their favicons, you know, the ones that show up, you know, when you're on the site. And so that's very cool. I also changed the main page to show up correctly and show up well in non-graphical, non-JavaScript browsers, meaning that on the front page, when you move the mouse over the name of the site, it'll go and it'll show the description on the right pane. Well, of course, that won't work with JavaScript, without JavaScript, because that's what's powering that. So I changed it in a very clever use of JavaScript and cascading style sheets, so that if you look at the page without JavaScript, it will show the description of the site underneath the link of it.
Oh.
So it actually worked out really well. And what I did is I used the cascading style sheets to go and show the, to hide the descriptions normally. And so when it doesn't have support for JavaScript, I assume it doesn't have support for style sheets, and so it displays it normally without that part hidden.
Right.
So it works out rather well. I finally got around to updating the code for the chat room so it works with Internet Explorer. Previously, it had just been working with Firefox, Opera, and other non-Internet Explorer browsers. But Internet Explorer has this really funky way of doing things, and so I had to go and throw in extra code so it'll work for that. Can't you people switch to something better? Use Firefox. I mean, it's free. Use Opera. That's free, too. I mean, come on. Internet Explorer is like the... what's a really common card, EB3? It's like the Ford of Internet browsers. Yes, they're everywhere. Yes, it can get you where you're going. But it's not the optimal choice for transportation.
Right.
So, upgrade to a Hertz or a Rolls-Royce or something nice like that. Okay, let's see, what else? Haven't done that either. Nope, certainly haven't updated the reviews section, have I, DB3?
No.
Well, that one's obviously given that I haven't done that. Or that. Okay, I can talk about that. okay. I updated the main site to include a link to the Sonic Wiki website that we're doing, which is a collaborative effort to list all of the information about all of the characters in the Archie Comics Sonic the Hedgehog comic book. Let's see. Anifinatiku has had a major update. I have changed it, so, okay. In the past, when you were reading a review on Anifinatiku, the title bar for the page would just read the very informative review. So I changed it to be much more informative. In the title bar, it'll say Anifinatiku, and then it will say something like Maishinikaku review. And then on the actual page, now on the actual page, it'll say review Maishinikaku. See, just as an example. So, and that's reflected throughout all like 500 articles on Anifinatiku. So very cool. Had to use a bit of my PHP Kung Fu to get that done. Okay, let's see. Haven't done that. Let's see. I got some new profiles for MacroBob the comic that I need to put up. So yes, okay. So I haven't gotten any of that done yet, but it's friendly reminder time. DB3, would you provide a friendly reminder about our trivia contest for our listeners?
Yes, every month we will feature an anime or video trivia question in the newsletter. The people who answer this question will have their name put in to a...
our drawing?
Yep.
Where we will draw out one name?
Yep. At the end of the month for...
prize for a mystery vault. Here's the thing. You only have till episode 82 to get in the answer to the question, and the question is only in the What's Up at MG17 Productions newsletter. So subscribe or read the archives, find out the answer to the question, and send it in. Because, heck, if nobody else enters, you win automatically. If only two people enters, you got a 50-50 chance, a flip of the coin, and you might get a DVD in the mail.
Right.
So, okay, but There was... What was that one thing I wanted to mention? Yes, okay. We're going to go and...
Yeah, about a minute left.
I know, but we'll disregard that fact. That way we'll do up this news proper, and then we can wrap up the show.
All right.
Okay. MD-17 Productions is going to affiliate with a bunch of really great websites online, right? For web hosting, video game rentals, anime purchases, other great stuff like that. And on the Anifinatiku and Macrobo V pages, we're going to be showing links for these, okay? So here's the deal. Anyone that follows these affiliate links and buys a product through one of those links, you know, goes to the website that it links to and buys it, we will get a cut of that commission. So if you want to go and help out ASO Radio so we can pay for our web hosting and continue to bring you the very best online anime news radio program, just go ahead and buy stuff through those links, and we get about 10% commission on everything that people buy. Hopefully, we can get enough commission to actually have the website pay for itself. A dream I've had since the very beginning, I'd say, DB3.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I've never been pro-commercials, but I always wanted it to pay for itself, you know. So that way, I'm not out of money for doing it, and, you know.
Yeah.
If the site pays for itself, that's all the more motivation for us to keep on going, keep on trucking. And so, that's the other thing, yes. I've got about half of all of the numerous names, websites, and characters from the cosplay roster put up on the cosplay section of the NDK 2005 photographs. Hopefully I'll be able to finish those within the year. Anyways, on the Artist Alley section of the site, I'm going to put up a rotating banner selection for banners for Acer Radio, Anifinatiku, and Macrobo V, because a lot of people using search engines are coming to the Artist Alley, finding our pictures, checking them out, but because we don't have any links to our other sites, has no idea about them. So I decided it'd be a good idea to go and put links to all the sites on there with attractive graphical banners.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, so thank you. And of course, as usual, I still haven't gone and contacted the anime companies about going and putting advertisements on Acer Radio. But, you know, I'm a very glacial sort of person. I move like a glacier does, very, very slowly.
Lethargically.
But, you know, lethargically, gradually, but eventually I do get to where I'm going.
Yeah.
So, and I'm also very large, like an iceberg. Alright, so, I think that's all the news for the ASO Radio stuff. Really should finish up the site soon, since I've got it almost all done, but it's that last little percent that's the really tough stuff to get through, you know? There's all the little bits. Okay, so let's wrap up the episode, DB3.
Alright.
Okay, now I usually do, you know, for episode blah, 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 and all that, but I want you to do it this time.
Well, for episode 80, what a great episode it was.
Mm-hmm.
This is DB3.
And NZ17.
Wrapping up episode 80 of ASO Radio.
ASO Radio. See you next time, guys.